Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is Two, subgroup number 3, Law Enforcement Needs. This is call number 3. The call takes place on July 11th, 2018 at 1500 UTC. And attending the call today is Thomas Walden, Alan Greenberg, Catherine Bauerbol, Lily Sun, Stephanie Perrin. From ICANN.org is Lisa Pfeiffer, Brenda Brewer, Steve Conti, Alice Jensen, and Jean-Baptiste Drouet. I'd like to remind everyone that the call is being recorded. Please state your name for the transcript, and I'll turn the call over to Catherine.
Thank you very much, Brenda, and thank you all for making time at such short notice to join this call. Which the main aim of this call, of course, is to discuss how we can quickly make progress on the law enforcement subgroup work, and in particular on the law enforcement needs survey. You will recall that while we were still discussing elements of the survey, we were sort of overtaken by events, and in particular by the change in access to the WHOIS, which already took place, as expected, at the end of May, and which has already affected law enforcement investigations. So the idea of doing a two-part survey with the identical questions that would be repeated, that would first be run before the changes to the WHOIS were made, and then would be rerun once more after the changes to the WHOIS had been implemented for a certain point in the period of time, no longer works, quite obviously, because now we're already dealing with a new status quo. And so I wanted to see where we can basically take this from here and whether, in particular, we can consider adjusting the survey a bit further to make sure that we capture what is happening now to law enforcement and whether law enforcement can reflect on the changes that have happened between May or between April when the first started implementing and now. So that we could adjust a couple of the questions. But this principle I wanted to discuss with you, and my apologies, first of all, for not doing this any earlier, as I've been completely drowning in other work, and I want to make sure that I do not further hold up this process. So let's see what your take is on this approach and whether you see a need to adjust the survey. And whether you have any other comments on where we stand right now and ideas on how we can progress this quickly. So I can see Stephanie cannot hear us at the moment. Let's see whether anybody has any input, either by typing in the chat or via the phone. Thomas, Lily, would you like to share any thoughts on this? Does this make sense to you? Would you suggest? Yes, please, Lily, go ahead.
This is Lily speaking for the record. Yeah, great, Catherine. So I quickly went through the survey we drafted before. So at least we need to fine-tune the words since the survey was designed to be delivered before GDPR came into effect. So at least we need to fine-tune the words for some of the questions. Second, regarding the impact of GDPR, I'm not quite sure what will be reflected for the frontline officer. Maybe it's just a fact to bring their attention that okay, the personal information is no longer available. So, but to where and how they can get the personal information, maybe they just don't have any idea. That's my personal understanding. And regarding how to launch the survey, I think we can, once we finish the fine-tuned words of the survey, we can quick launch the survey to some like point of contacts, not to all of them. So we can just testify whether the survey is well designed, whether we can get the feedbacks that we want or intention to get from the participants. And also, from my perspective, I already prepared a list of intended point of contacts from the different member countries. And I remember you mentioned, so for U.S., Thomas will take care of for the member countries of European region. So you can cover that. So I can help for the rest as much as possible for the rest of the world. So I already compiled a list of the point of contacts, and maybe I'll seek my colleagues' help to further identify some suitable point of contacts. So one issue is that I realized for some of my point of contacts, they don't have the government domain email address, like Gmail or Yahoo mail address. I think this shouldn't be an issue from ICANN perspective, right? That's all from my side.
Thank you very much, Lily. This is Catherine speaking for the record. I am not sure whether it would be an issue, in fact, that there is no official email address. I mean, it might make it harder to verify that the people are, in fact, law enforcement, but if we proceed on an by invite-only basis and you can vouch for the entities being law enforcement, then my assumption is that that should be fine. But let's turn this to ICANN staff to possibly provide feedback on this if they see any issue with this. And then I see we have Alan in the queue.
Thank you. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. On that issue, I don't see a real problem. I mean, we will identify them as law enforcement, and you know, although we're not going to publish who it is who submitted, we'll have records of who we believe submitted. So I wouldn't view that as a problem at all. The reason I put my hand up is I looked through the survey, and I think, in fact, if for most of the questions, there may be one or two that doesn't apply. I think if we ask them to answer this from a perspective of pre-GDPR, so before May 25th or whatever date we want to use, to try to gauge how much they have used who is in the past, and then add one or two questions at the end saying, based on your experiences since the implementation of GDPR, and we can phrase it the right way, to what extent do you believe you know, your uses are going to be impacted, or you will have problems. Again, I'm not trying to phrase it on the fly, but most of the questions I think are still particularly valid, because that will tell us to what extent they have been using WHOIS, and will therefore be impacted. And we can ask them for an initial assessment, but it's just clearly a very initial one. So I don't think we need to make a lot of changes. There may be a few questions where the wording has to be refined, but I think generally we're still in good shape. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I agree. And that, sorry, Jean-Baptiste, is that you?
No, this was Thomas for the record.
Hi, Thomas.
Hey, I wanted to kind of ride a little bit on what Alan just said, and I totally agree. As we were discussing this and trying to formulate it, and I spoke with people within my agency, they looked at it as how it was impacting upon what they were doing at this time. So I think by that little delay, we may be able to even gauge if there's been any change between that initial, and they may even reflect that in some of their responses, for one. And then it benefited a little further. It benefited my agency some, because there were people who weren't even aware of everything that was occurring with the GDPR, just because they aren't as engaged in it as the ICANN participants are. And when they became aware of it, they started looking at who is a little more closely as how this would definitely impact upon what they can and can't do in furtherance of their assigned duties.
Thank you, Thomas, for that. It matches. Sorry, I see Lisa has her hand up. Just to react to this quickly, it matches exactly what we heard from law enforcement informally on the sidelines of an expert meeting that I hosted yesterday, where basically they told us that they're looking at investigations that that relate to crimes that were committed a couple months back, and they're using domain tools or other such tools where the data is, of course, becoming outdated, but still perfectly well reflects the data that they would need to deal with their cases from 6 months ago. So they're not yet feeling the pain in many areas because they don't actually make the fresh lookups. They just look at what the data was 6 months ago, and that data is still available, but of course it will become outdated. So indeed, in this questionnaire, we might inadvertently also be having some sort of an outreach function. But what I guess what that brings us to, and Alan's comment already referred to this, is something Lisa also mentioned in the chat, which is, can we work out which questions need to change? And I actually agree with Alan that there's not many changes we need to make. I had written down for myself that I would like to get a perspective before and after on questions 4, 5, and 6, and then to also think about how we can rephrase or how we can add something on 10, 11, 12, which is about how well the database meets or how well the protocol meets law enforcement needs, whether there we can hook onto that further question that Alan also raised about, is there any way we can already assess the initial impact of the changes? Before I go any further, oh, Lisa, you have your hand no longer raised.
You still I don't know why it disappeared.
Okay, but you were first in line, so please go ahead.
I think actually my hand probably disappeared because I was promoted to host, so I could start recording some of the decisions you reach. what I was going to suggest, we have two concerns on the table right now. One is how to finalize the actual text of the survey, and then the other is how to go about launching it. So if we're focusing first on finalizing the text of the survey, I wondered, since I think all but maybe Thomas are on Adobe, if we could step through the questions and, as you just began to do, Catherine, identify which questions should change and how. We could maybe wrap that up in this call.
Excellent. Let's do that. Very good idea. And let's quickly hear from Alan before we turn to that.
Thank you very much. I would strongly suggest that you prefix all of the questions or most of them with, we're doing this from a pre-GDPR perspective, and then at the end ask the questions appropriately for how has the following things, how do you believe the following things are changing because of it? If you switch back and forth, you're going to end up, I won't say confusing people, but people are going to, we're not going to be sure if they're answering pre or post. So I would mass together the ones that are pre, essentially to assess how much has who is being used, and then try to assess to what extent they believe things are changing from it. If you flip back and forth, I think we're going to be asking for trouble. Thank you.
Okay. No, Alan, I think that's a really good idea, and I do see Lily agreeing in the chat already. So So what you're saying basically is let's leave things as they are, and then we add a text in the beginning saying the survey aims to obtain your views on your user experience as of, say, April of this year. Please disregard any changes that might have affected your possibility to make lookups that came about as of end of May, that type of language. And then at the end, we add one or two questions on the impact of the GDPR. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, questions 1 through X are applying before, and then another nice big bold heading saying the following questions are, you know, apply to, you know, your experiences since GDPR, or how are you predicting it, something like that. The exact wording will depend on what the questions are. Now, I suspect there may be a few of the questions right now that are in the body of it that we may want to move to the end, but as we do the one by one, I think that'll become obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I wanted to get statistics on was the lookup, so 4, 5, and 6. So maybe let's start stepping through the questions. And as we do so, Stephanie has suggested that we also read the language for bias, so that
sure.
that they've used who is might not mean that they are negatively impacted. So, indeed. And Stephanie, I know you already suggested a number of changes to the text in the previous version. I hope you can hear me, by the way. And those changes have all been integrated into this text. So, indeed, we should not presume in whatever language we formulate that any impact on an investigation is necessarily negative in nature. Okay, so let's step through the text. I mean, of course, the first two won't really change. Question three, for those who are not in Adobe, is by which means do you or your agency look up Whois data? Is it direct lookup or third-party commercial service and such like? So I guess that can remain the same. In fact, maybe the easiest way is to go through them and you just flag which questions you think should either be repeated at the end or moved to the end. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Okay, not hearing any objections. So we have questions 4, 5, and 6, which basically question how many Whois lookups are made and what percentage of lookup results actually help the investigation. So that, of course, would be useful to have from the pre-GDPR perspective. And I'm also wondering whether it wouldn't be good to get that information also today, because what I heard from law enforcement yesterday and also anecdotally in Panama was that many of them have just stopped making lookups because they're not getting any data. At least when it comes to the DTLDs. Of course, for law enforcement, the CCTLDs are also a source, and they continue to make the CCTLD lookups. Oh, excellent. Stephanie confirms that she can hear. That's good. What do you guys think on questions 4, 5, and 6? Do you see a need to repeat them, to move them? I see Lisa has her hand up. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Catherine. It actually occurred to me that question 3 assumes that they use Whois because it asks by what means do you does your agency look up Whois data. You might want to ask that if you use Whois data, by what means do you or your agency use the lookup.
It's Alan. I think we can just cover that by having a first option saying we don't use it.
Yes, exactly. You could do that. Yep. Don't use it.
Right. I mean, I think it's sort of beyond the purpose. This is Catherine, by the way. Beyond the purpose of the survey if they don't use Whois. So that should be in the text of the email even that we send out, that you should only ask Jean-Baptiste to send the link to you to respond if you actually use the Whois, because otherwise, I mean, that person not using the Whois cannot help us assess whether the Whois meets user needs unless they have stopped using the Whois because they're intensely frustrated with the way it works.
Right, and that's actually what brought that to mind for me, is that you perhaps don't want to weed those people out before they even take the survey, that you want to hear from them that they have stopped using Whois, if that's in fact the case.
It's Alan, except I thought we said these first questions are your experience prior to GDPR. So, again, that's I think that we want to be careful not to mix them, because otherwise we can't rely on the answers.
Right. My point really was if you... and you're sending your invitation, say, you know, if you use Whois, would you participate in our survey? You may get some people not participating because they've just recently stopped using it, and you won't get this, background information. So you may want, you know, whatever your invitees are, if they're willing to participate in the survey, give them an opportunity to upfront say that they haven't used Whois in the past. So it's just a suggestion. in reference to the questions 4, 5, and 6, if you just qualify those with, prior to May of this of 2018, how many WHOIS lookups did you make per month, et cetera, that time bounds those questions and allows you to then talk about what's happened since May in later questions that you'll add.
Right, that makes sense. I'm still struggling with this idea of inviting people who don't use the WHOIS at all. I mean, maybe we should at least assume some familiarity with it, because otherwise, I mean, I don't really see what else we would be asking them. We would then have a question in the beginning that says, do you use the WHOIS? Yes, no. And then when they say no, we say, thank you very much, you're done. No, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be funny. I'm wondering what else we want to ask them, because if they don't make lookups, we don't need to ask them by which means they make lookups and whether they think it meets their needs.
I agree with you, Catherine. I'm just wondering if you tell people not to even try to participate in the survey because they don't use WHOIS, you're missing the opportunity for them to come and give you information about past usage and then indicate if, in fact, their usage has changed because of GDPR to indicate that.
Right, sorry, and I think I fully agree with you there. So the idea is not to exclude anyone who stopped using it just now. I just mean that we should make sure that at some point in time they used it, and if they stopped using it because they were frustrated, then that's important information. I fully agree. So maybe we can propose some language to this extent in the cover email.
Yeah, perhaps if in your invitation you say if you now or have ever used WHOIS in performance of your duties, and then continue on with your survey invite.
Yeah.
Then that makes it clear that you're not looking for people who only use it currently. Because it is useful to find out why they may have stopped.
Yeah, indeed. That's good wording. Maybe we can already take that down. Okay. So we have this, and then what do you guys think, again, on the wording in 4, 5, and 6? Does it need to be repeated? Sorry, I'm just reading also the chat. Yes, true, but you may be collecting. So Stephanie says that you may be collecting a lot of garbage that is going to skew your survey results in response to the suggestion that past use would be interesting.
Yeah, it's Alan. Again, the wording of the actual question says, do you, which is present, but... again, I don't know if we have to change each question, but clearly we want to indicate that we're looking at a past world. And as you point out, if most people are using domain tools, then the past world still applies to a large extent. But
yes.
I think here we're interested in to what extent has WHOIS been useful, and then we will try to assess to what extent they believe it has changed, or we may simply extrapolate ourselves.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we need to change the tense in the question if we make it really clear at the beginning that we're looking at the pre-GDPR world. And, of course, we never specify here whether we're talking about GTLDs or CCTLDs, which are completely different animals at some level. And I guess I don't really want to mess up the question by introducing that now. So I think we're looking at WHOIS in general and assuming that it's a combination of CC and GTLD. We know much of the abuse is in the GTLD world.
Yes, indeed, good point. And I also, I mean, it takes so long to explain to anybody what the difference is.
Yeah.
And with those people who use it a lot, I mean, I realized again yesterday with law enforcement who were like, well, our registry responds just fine. And I'm like, yes, that's not the one that's affected. Anyway, so I think that's a very good point. So we could add a question or two. Should we continue to go through the questions? And I'm still fishing for feedback on 4, 5, and 6.
I'm happy with them. It's Alan. I'm happy with them as long as we've made a very clear statement up ahead that these questions apply to the old world, not necessarily today.
Right. Right. And what would you say to having a similar type of question on the new world, or would that really just be sort of a generic, have you noticed any changes kind of question? I mean, what I'm trying to see is whether we can get anything more specific on the new situation, which was my understanding. But I take your point about creating confusion, Alan, and I was just wondering whether there is a possibility of being a bit more specific on the post-GDPR questions. And I see Lisa has her hand up. Please.
Thanks, Catherine. I was going to suggest that one way to handle this would be before the actual question posed in 3, if you have a paragraph that says that the next next few questions deal with your use of WHOIS prior to May 2018, please answer those questions with that in mind. And then once you get to the point where you want to ask additional questions, if that's going to be towards the end, you could ask a question that says, has your use changed since GDPR enforcement, however you want to ask, indicate what happened in May, but has your usage changed? And if they say yes, then you could pose the same questions, 4, 5, and 6, to gather that data. If they say no, obviously, those questions wouldn't be relevant and wouldn't be displayed by the survey tool.
Yes, I think that's a really good way of handling this, because then I think the risk of confusion is minimal, because they will have already reflected on whether there has been a change. And maybe those questions could be supplemented by an additional, more general one. Do you have any further comments about how the situation has evolved? So in my view, what I would like to include in this sort of drop-down, if they say their use has changed, would be questions 4, 5, and 6, and then possibly also 3rd-party services one. Are there other questions that should be included in the drop-down that you would see? And I see Lisa has her hand up again.
Sorry, old hand.
Okay. So what we could still consider is to have 4, 5, and 6 only, plus a general comment box, or to do 4, 5, and 6, and then the questions on the meeting your needs for law enforcement investigations, so 10 and following. Do people have views on this?
This is Thomas. Catherine, could you repeat that again? I kind of lost you a little bit for a second.
Yes, sorry, Thomas.
No
also
problem.
Jumping a bit. So I was suggesting that we could also think about asking respondents who say that their use has changed post-GDPR, that we could also ask them questions 10, 11, and 12, which refer to whether the WHOIS meets law enforcement needs. So
okay.
That we would get a perspective on whether that met their needs beforehand, and then a perspective on whether it meets their needs in the current incarnation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That does. Because, that's the basis of what we're trying to, the data we're trying to acquire. So, yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay. And then for the remaining questions, I mean, my take is that could stay the same, because that really refers to issues such as privacy and proxy services or alternative data sources, and that is independent of the changes made by the GDPR. And then there's also some more general questions about relevant issues or experience using gated access systems, which I think would also be fine to keep. So here I would not see any need to provide further changes. Let's see whether anybody, Lisa, you have your hand up.
Yes, I was wondering, the wording of questions 10, 11, and 12 refer to the current WHOIS. Would it make sense to refer to the WHOIS lookup functionality prior to May 2018 so that you're not confusing the respondents the first time through, the first time asking that question? Make it clear that you're asking about WHOIS as it existed prior to May. And then when you repeat those questions, 10, 11, 12, you can refer to, you know, WHOIS since May 2018 to make it very clear that you're now asking about the new, new and improved, but I'm not sure that's correct.
Yes, I think that makes perfect sense.
And I wonder if question 13, I think you said 10, 11, 12, but I wonder if question 13 wouldn't also be useful to repeat, since the amount of information that's available for the contacts has significantly changed.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I thought that one wasn't necessary because it doesn't, I mean, it's just simply not available. So many of the fields are, I mean, everything except for registrar, creation, and updated date, and name server will not be available. Lisa, please, sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm doing a bad job of putting my hand down, but I see your point about question 13.
Yeah, so I would propose to just stick with 4, 5, and 6, and then 10, 11, 12, and then a more general one that says, you know, have you noticed any other changes to for the better or for the worse, you know, to make sure we stay neutral. Have you noticed any other changes to the WHOIS, or how have those affected you?
It's Alan. Just a point of information. Do we have any feeling for how many law enforcement organizations subscribe to things like domain tools with the past data? I mean, if you just go to the domain tools website, you'll get current data, but they store all the historical data. Do we have any idea to what extent that's actively used?
So my understanding is that there is a very active use of domain tools in the richer countries, because it's actually quite an expensive registration, and so there are member states that use it quite actively among the European Union ones, basically those who have the pockets to pay for it, and those still heavily rely on domain tools. But the others are still are basically stuck now or use other providers. So I don't have a perfect understanding of where we stand.
Okay. Of course, there will obviously be enticements in the future to use those tools, even if you didn't in the past, because the old data may be the only data that has information that you need. So,
indeed.
But that's nothing that we really can forecast at this point.
Indeed, and I mean, it will just go away. So, I mean, it will become outdated, and then we're stuck. So I'm, just so you know, I'm switching, I just switched to another phone, and I have to drop off the Adobe because we have a train strike, and I have to, so start my way home a bit earlier than usual because I just realized that my normal train is not running. So I'm still on the call, but I won't be able to see the Adobe. So please just speak up so that we can follow the discussion without you waiting for me to give you the word when I don't see the hand in Adobe. Apologies for that.
And I'm going to have to drop off in probably about 15 minutes anyway. I have someone else coming to see me.
And I think we're making good progress here, so let's see whether we can conclude this in those 15 minutes, because that might still be possible. But, I mean, at least for me now, it seems fairly clear what we want to do, which is to have the little drop-down at the end to reflect the current work or the current status quo, and then go back close with a more general box that allows the introduction of any further comments that people might have on the current status quo. Does that make sense for everyone?
Yeah, makes sense to me. And if we send out a revised version soon, I'll try to turn it around quickly.
Excellent.
Yes, Catherine.
Excellent. Thomas, are you also fine with this?
Yes, ma'am.
That's great. Lisa, could I possibly ask for your and Alice's help in trying to turn this around and putting it back into the survey tool?
Of course.
That would be brilliant. And then maybe what we could do is if you could send out a new link, a new version, we could comment on it within the next day or so. Is that feasible for people? And I know I'm usually the one who's struggling most. Alan, please.
Sorry, I didn't think my hand was up, but yes, that's fine with me.
Okay. No, I just thought I heard you speaking, but maybe I'm just having visions at this point.
I hope I was on mute.
That may have been me. This is Thomas. That would be fine. Sooner, if we could get something out sooner as opposed to later. I'm in Phoenix next week at a meeting and a conference for the whole week, and I'm kind of in and out. So I'd rather if we could get something out so I could kind of give my input on it prior to that, I'd really appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, I know that staff has usually not been the hindrance in terms of delivering things quickly.
Right.
Let's hope that continues. Lisa, Alice, is that okay for you? That you just let us know whenever there's text for us to look at, and then we try and turn it around within the next day or so afterwards?
Yes. So if just to be clear on the timeline, if you were to receive new text tomorrow, you would be looking for response from subgroup members by Monday?
Well, if it's tomorrow, tomorrow is Thursday, so then I would be looking for a response by Friday.
Good. So we'll say by Friday close of business. And I don't want to be presumptuous. I know it's late in the day for Alice. But if that would Friday close of business for subgroup members to react, it assumes that you will get new text tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, I also don't want to presume on Alice, but if we don't manage if you can manage to get us something by close of business tomorrow, so that Alice wouldn't have to do it today or anything, I mean, that would already be a very fast turnaround, and then we could look at that on Friday.
All right, very good. And then you had raised also the question of if the email addresses were not the agency addresses but actually another personal email address, would that pose any problems? We'll take an action to verify that it's not a problem. Presumably if you share your list with ICANN, Jean-Baptiste will be able to line up the responses that he receives with your list and know that it's someone that you have intended to invite.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Well, then I think we had a very productive call and are probably good to go.
Outstanding.
So unless there's any further comments, thanks everyone, and talk to you soon.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.